Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Our reading this morning is taken out of the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Good morning, once again, everybody. It's good to see you all, and happy Mother's Day to those to whom it applies. Before I get going, I feel like I should explain this tie, because I have more comments on it. This is a special tie. It's Amy's favorite tie. I don't wear it very often, but I wear it for Amy. And the story behind this tie goes, actually, our first official public quote-unquote date, it was going to a wedding. And she was wearing a dress that had a little bit of pink in it, and so I didn't tell her, I don't think, but I showed up with a hot pink tie, and she goes, yeah. Funny thing is, at the wedding, she caught the bouquet and I caught the garter. And then 2 weeks later, we were engaged. So, you know, it's a good luck tie. It's a good tie. Anyway, but I also wear it, as I said, just I know she likes it. And so I don't wear it. I don't wear ties here very often anyway, so, but especially not. But anyway, so if you ever want to know, that's the reason I have a hot pink tie. It is Mother's Day today, and I want to welcome and just thank every mother out there. I think that Levi and Patrick and Matthew and Mitchell know it's Mother's Day, and they're stepping up their game. Sarah and Amy are busy today, but yet that's part of the blessing. I will never mind young kids interrupting my sermon, because it means there are kids here. And one thing that goes sometimes overlooked is that there are mothers wrangling them. So we thank you so much for that, and I thank you for every mother here. I do appreciate and honor every mother. You've blessed our lives in so many ways, whether you're a mother, mother-to-be, stepmother, motherly figure, however it applies. We cannot repay you at all. Not one bit. The most that I can do, say thank you and acknowledge your sacrifice and thank God for you in every way. I also want, though, just to start out, acknowledge all the other women among us. Some, this day is not as happy as others. Some have wanted a child. Some, their children have passed on. Some do not think of this day very kindly for who it recognizes. I want you to know that whoever you are or wherever they are, you are honored and loved as well. You're part of this family and welcome here. And whether this is a celebratory day of which we can rejoice, we rejoice and celebrate with you. Or if this is a day of which you mourn for a passing, or a day of which is not the best of terms in your mind, we're there with you as well. We're your family. At least we want to be. And I always want you to know that no matter what day on the calendar it is, this is a day, whatever day it happens to be, where we can assemble and we can share in your life whatever it is that you're willing to share. We do this because there is one God who created the world and created each of us in our own image. And He loves each and every one of us, regardless of the earthly people in our lives. He's laughing and rejoicing with those who are laughing and rejoicing, and He is crying and mournful with those who are crying and mournful. We gather here today to first and foremost worship Him, the one who knows what's in our hearts and in our minds and in our thoughts, who cares for us and sent us Jesus as our salvation. Having said that, I looked into the history of this day a little bit, and it's an interesting day. It's a very interesting day. This day can actually be kind of traced back to the Greeks and Romans celebrating their goddesses of fertility, their mother goddesses. But the clearest modern, quote-unquote, ancestor is from the United Kingdom and parts of Europe, where on the fourth Sunday in Lent, people would return to their mother church, which means their church in the closest vicinity of where they lived, to fellowship and to come back. And it was almost a bit snarky, but it kind of reminds me of Christmas and Easter now. We should go to church today. Okay. The closest really true descent was from a woman named Anne Reeves Jarvis before the Civil War began. She formed a club called a Mother's Day Work Club. These were actually formed to teach local women how to mother, how to care for their kids, and they actually became a very unifying force throughout the war. In 1868, after the Civil War, these actually became Mother's Friendship Days, to where mothers gathered with their former Confederate and Union soldiers to promote reconciliation after the war. Eventually, in 1870, a woman named Julia Ward Howe campaigned for a Mother's Peace Day, and others for a similar day. The official holiday, which we now have, came to us in the 1900s from a woman named Anna Jarvis, who was Ann Jarvis's daughter, who wanted to honor the sacrifices mothers made for their children. The first celebration of Mother's Day was in Grafton, West Virginia in May 1908, and she campaigned through a huge letter-writing campaign in Congress to add an official day to the calendar to honor mothers. Eventually happened in 1914 when Woodrow Wilson signed it into law. Ironically, two things happened. Well, one thing was that Anna was ironically unmarried and childless, which was interesting, but she could still recognize the sacrifice her own mother made. The second thing that happened was that by 1920, Anna Jarvis had pretty much denounced the holiday because it had become so commercialized. Back in 1920, the capitalistic idea of America, the card writers, the chocolates makers, the flower shops, all said, hey, this is a good opportunity. And 6 years after she had instituted it as a national holiday, she began to try to denounce it and even sued groups that tried to use the name Mother's Day because she just became so fed up with the you know what I'm trying to say, just say it in your mind. A little bit of interesting history. There was a poll done that today is a day that's celebrated third only to Christmas and Easter. A day when phone traffic will spike 40% from people calling their homes and mothers to say Happy Mother's Day. There was a poll of 1,000 women about what they would like today. Flowers, this is rivaling Valentine's Day as a day of mother, as flowers being sent out. But this poll actually asked mothers what they would like. Maybe you can relate to some of these. 25% of the ladies polled simply want a nice meal. 16% wanted gift cards. 13% wanted a spa day. Maybe get some ideas, guys. 63% said they wanted to spend time, quality time with their family. 27% said they wanted a family brunch. 28% said they wanted chocolate. Only 8% of 1,000 moms actually said they wanted flowers, which I thought was interesting. Wherever you rank on there, hopefully. Well, I'll leave it at that. I say all that not to just waste time and not just to, you know, to talk about the day, but those things are good. There's nothing wrong with those things. But for all we do, for all that is done, for all that we try to say thank you, these things seem very small in comparison to what mothers do. M-O-M is a short word, but with a huge meaning. I often tell Amy how much harder a job she has than I do, and much more intensive job than I do. And I'm still sticking by it. Moms, and I'll say this as a qualifier, godly mothers who take the time, who put forth the effort to truly mother their kids, to raise them in Christ deserve more than any salary figure we could hope to assign. And there's a reason. Once again, talking about godly mothers, and I understand that not everyone had the ideal mother or one who even tried to be ideal. I understand that many mothers have been taken away too quickly, and vice versa. For those who are in that camp, and for all the dudes in this room, this sermon's for you too. Bear with me through the first point. But I want to talk about first the purpose of motherhood. There is a proverb which is worded very, very interestingly. Proverbs 6:20, which says, "My son," Solomon speaking, "keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching." I find that wording very interesting. If we go back to the beginning, in the beginning, we see that God created Adam and Eve, male and female. And He did so according to His perfect design, did so according to His perfect will. And it's really an amazing design, if you really step back and think about it. The design is not just to physically continue on by having children and grandchildren and such, although that's good, but to make two beings that complement each other in their differences is an amazing design, even when and if and that it causes us strife sometimes. We must always remember, though, is that even if sometimes it takes a little bit more figuring out than we would like, and yes, it does take figuring out, let's be honest. Even though it does, we must remember that when it comes to you and I and each other, is that the reason that all of us can say we are unique, all while being created in the image of God, is that each of us, or rather none of us, contain the same set of characteristics of God as another. We all reflect God in slightly different ways, in different forms, with different talents and different personality traits. But we must remember that whatever characteristics we have, they also came from God. I could rabbit trail on this and talk about being valuable simply by being created, because we are all created in the image of God, but that's another sermon. It's one I will preach, so come back. Women have such an important image of God that men need, and vice versa, but also that children need. Am I saying that you have to be a mother if you're a woman? No, I'm not. Am I saying that you're not fulfilling your purpose as a woman if you don't have kids? No, I'm not. Don't hear that. I'm saying that now. Don't hear that. But I am saying that for those of us who do have children, there are things that our kids only learn and can only learn from our mothers. Things that they will also only learn from their fathers. But the important thing is that both were designed and created to teach our children what it means to be created in the image of God. There are exceptions, sure. We all have different personality traits, and that's fine. But generally, mothers will teach. I pulled up some psychology behind this, and I just said, because it's going to get too in-depth. But generally, women and mothers will teach how to interact with each other, social interaction, communication, how to deal with emotions, how to be fair, how to play nice, all these things generally that we learn from our mothers. We learn things from our fathers, too. But generally, mothers have the first shot at it before fathers do. I learned. I love my father, I love my mother. I'm not deriding each of them, it's just simply how it was. I learned that it's okay to have emotion and to feel strongly about things from my mother. I learned that it's okay to feel and to think from my mother. I learned that it's okay to cry from my mother. And if you don't think it's okay to cry, Jesus wept. So, there you go. Boom. In society, sometimes I think we get wrapped up in this idea that being emotional or having strong feelings is a bad thing. And stick with me through this, that being too much like an emotional woman is a bad thing. And that's wrong on two counts. One, It's not that women are more emotional, but it's that you ladies are a whole lot better about communicating your emotion than us really dumb guys sometimes. We can say it. Amen. I know very, very emotional men. I know very, very strong feeling men, but we don't know how to communicate it as well sometimes. Talk about that strife I was talking about. Sometimes it happens. That's the first count is wrong. The second count is wrong is that if you say being emotional or having feelings, anything like that, is being a bad thing, and that's how a certain woman is made, you're basically slapping God in the face, because where did those emotions and feelings come from? They came from God. He made us with emotions and feelings as well as brains to figure them out. I'm generalizing a little bit here. But motherhood is there, yes, to physically bring children into this world and physically nourish our children into maturity. But motherhood was also designed by God to teach and to nourish and connect in ways with children that fathers never will. And that's good. That's a good thing. Do we do it perfectly all the time? Well, of course not. But that's why it's so important to strive to be a godly mother, to learn what it means to raise a child in the Lord. Because, moms, whether your children are old or whether they're young, wherever they are, your kids will still see pieces of God in you that they will never see anywhere else. Our kids have their own free will, and sometimes they don't always appreciate it. I say that not appreciating my parents as much as I should. But the result isn't always what we must focus on. But we must focus on being who God has called us to be. And today I highlight the importance of godly mothers. That's also why it's so hard, I think, whenever mothers don't live up to how they were designed. But also why being a godly mother can be such a force in this world. I wonder what ways in your life did your mother show you who God was? And as if you are a mother, in what ways we're striving each and every day to be a godly mother. Fathers, our day's coming up too, so you're not exempt from this. But the pursuit of godliness is never a lost pursuit, especially when it comes to mothers and their children. With that, I bring you to what Jordan read from Romans 12:9. And it says, that's chapter 13. That's good. I would have read something weird. It says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That might be a little bit of a weird place to have a Mother's Day reading. By the way, dudes and non-mothers, you can tune back in now. It might be a little bit of a weird reading, but I think it applies very, very well. I've been here long enough. I think you've seen that I'm really not above preaching on the holidays, though nor do I feel it should be limited to just that theme. Maybe I'm very pragmatic, but I tend to see, even in days and things that our culture lifts up, I think if we look at them through the lens of Scripture, we can see how that concept or that thing applies to all of us. And as weird as it may sound, I think motherhood, the concept of motherhood, applies to all of us when focused through Christ. The point is very, very simple and yet very, very powerful. It's easy to focus on Christ in the Christmas season, to where everyone is talking about Him, the one time in the year it seems that the world doesn't mind us talking about Jesus. It's easy to be hungry at a buffet. It's easy to be Christian-like at church. And it's easy to honor our mothers, usually, on Mother's Day. Here's my question about mothers, about fill in the blank. Why should today be any different than tomorrow? or yesterday, or next month, or whenever. If they exist, best friends day, cousins day, mentors day, important person to me day, preacher's day, they're not near as important on the calendar as Mother's Day. But what about them? Now, am I saying honoring mothers is a bad thing? Absolutely not. In fact, you know what? We should make a church family honor day. We can call it Sunday. I think you see my point. We are to outdo each other in showing honor. And if we are to do that, and if we are to be beholden to that standard, it cannot be just on this day or that day or those days or that. It must be and has to be to the best of our ability every day. What if, when on Mother's Day, there was really no special action? What if your actions as a son or a daughter or even as a mother didn't stand out because that was just how we lived? What if it was simply an overflow, like every other day, of how we treated and honored our mothers and each other? I'm not just talking about Mother's Day, obviously, but what I am talking about is the concept of what it means to walk daily in Christ. Every day, each and every day that we wake up and we breathe and we open our eyes and we see the day before us is a day to show each other, and especially those that have influenced us and mentored us, especially in Christ. But every day is this day to show them honor. My second question is that, do your actions change on special days? And if so, what's wrong with the other 364? The third thing I'd like to propose to you this morning is the purpose of our image. We've had the purpose of motherhood, the purpose of honor, and the purpose of our image. As much as we refer back to Him in male terms, God is also the root of motherhood. And that's important to recognize. I think it's interesting that God calls Himself El Shaddai. Dai in Hebrew, D-A-I, means to shed forth or bring forth or pour out. Shad or Shaddaim actually means breast, a breasted one. And it's used throughout the Old Testament meaning supplying, satisfying, giving abundantly. El Shaddai very much means one who mightily nourishes, satisfies, protects, and supplies His people abundantly. And it doesn't take long to go through Scripture, especially in Old Testament, especially in New Testament too, Bible, to see this metaphor of God feeding and nourishing and protecting His people. One thing that comes to mind is from Matthew 23, whenever Jesus compares God to a mother hen wanting to gather up her chicks under her wing to keep them safe. And this was about Jesus talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. What mother would willingly leave their children to die without doing everything possible for them? Where does that come from? It comes from God, who has sent us everything that we could possibly want to not be destroyed, but yet come back to Him. The image of motherhood comes directly from God, and to a very large extent applies to all of us. We can all have someone who looks to us for spiritual nourishment at first. Whatever that looks like, a Bible study, encouragement, saying a kind word, offering to pray for them, that feeds their spirit. Maybe even spiritual protection and spiritual life. There's someone, I guarantee, if we look around in our life, that we could draw close when they have doubts in this world. and to show them the nurture, to show them the love, to show them the incredible grace of God that many mothers inherently have. There's always someone in our lives who needs to see Christ, and they're looking at us. Everyone can reflect characteristics of God in different ways, regardless of if you're a mother or not, regardless if you're a woman or not, regardless if you're a man or not, whatever you are, if you are breathing, you can reflect the image of God and the image of Christ into this world. And we can watch our spiritual children, as Paul called Timothy, who, by the way, was raised by his godly mother and his godly grandmother, and watch them grow in maturity and faith in Christ, much as our biological mothers can raise us. So each of us can have the opportunity to raise a spiritual child with the strength and love of God being shown to them through us. I leave you with this thought. A thought broken down into three things. One, happy Mother's Day. That's a good thing to celebrate, and we should celebrate it. By the way, happy Mother's Day lasts 365 days a year. As does Father's Day, as does Christmas, as does Easter. Number two, I pray that for those who have had hardship when it comes to this concept, that we recognize that we are all fallible, and that when we fail, we must always look to the one who never fails, who is Christ and God the Father. And three, I challenge you today to take this concept. It's easy to agree with the preacher when he's looking right at you and preaching to you. I challenge you today to take this concept, to take this drive that you have, whatever you're doing for your mothers, whatever not you're doing, pick someone else if it's not your mother, whatever drive you have to make this day special, and make it part of simply who we are. Every day, not as mothers and sons and daughters and all these, but simply as Christians living to bring honor and glory to God in this world. With that, happy Mother's Day today and beyond. Let's stand and sing.